get turned away.
Yeah. This is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
Morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote upon it,
return to sender, address unknown, no such number, no such zone. We had a quarrel, a lover's spat.
Dropped it in the mailbox as in a special deed. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me.
She wrote upon it,
return to sender, address unknown, no such person, no such zone.
This time understand.
We're riding on it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such zone. Return to sender. Return to sender. Return to sender.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
Good. I'm Ray Charles, and I just want to tell you that hearing is a wonderful gift. It's very precious. Please take care of it, huh?
Yeah. salvation will be in me. From Genesis to Revelation, the next generation.
Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your cares behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
And good afternoon, Chuck Morse here at WMFO 91.5 AM, Medford, Boston, Tufts University. Welcome to the program. Yes, indeed, I am live here in this interregnum between Christmas and New Year when things are quiet. I can tell you as an Uber and Lyft driver that things are pretty quiet, although I've had some very interesting passengers. I love doing those rides. I had a man yesterday who I took to the airport who is actually a Turkish national filmmaker. And we had an extraordinary conversation about politics in Turkey and Syria and what's going on there. And I've just learned so much from the experience of giving people rides and at different times of the day. It's one of the things that I do to basically make a living as I pursue activities that, are more, less remunerative, let's just put it that way, at least for now, but yet have potential. And those include doing this program right here at Tufts University, where I am resuming my career as a radio talk show host. I've been on and off. I've been in and out of radio for the past, I'd say, 15 years. I actually started doing it right here at Tufts, WMFO. I think it was in 1998, around that time, 1997. In that I had this dream of doing talk radio. I fell in love with talk radio. When I had to do a lot of driving, my job took me in the car, I had to spend many hours a day driving throughout New England, New York, mainly distributing promotional materials, which was what my company did. And in the course of time, I fell in love with talk radio. It's just the intimacy of it, the fact that you could almost, look into, pierce into someone's soul when you hear them talk. And the wisdom and essential common sense of people calling in right off the street, especially when there was something going on in the news that was breaking or just an important social issue. To hear the basic wisdom of people was something that I found addictive. And the sort of the aspect of it where someone's having a conversation without any screening, without any net, as it were, really is total strangers discussing issues of import often, was almost like, I don't know, it had a kind of a voyeuristic quality for me. It was like listening to, it was almost delicious, you know? Anyway, on that topic, I should give out the phone number if you'd like to join the program. We are live right now, right here at WMFO. This is your host, Chuck Morse, for the next hour and maybe 10 minutes. I'll be here probably till around noontime. Come on down. 855-915-9636 is the number. Please be patient with me if you call, because I'm not experienced at handling the phone lines. So, you know, if I inadvertently hang up on you, just try again. But I'll do my best. One thing I never really got good at was how to handle the intricacies of the technical end of things. But yet here I am trying at this late stage of my life. 855-915-9636 is the number. 855-915-9636. I thought it would be interesting today to get into the topic of Israel and the state of Israel and where it stands in the world today, what its mission is, what its future is, especially right here, well, for two reasons. Firstly, because I'm right here at Tufts University, which is the heart and soul, actually, in many ways, of American academia, liberal academia, quite frankly. And as such, there have been controversies with regard to the position of faculty and students and student organizations in their relations with the state of Israel. I think there's been many misunderstandings. I will be upfront when I tell you that I am an Israel advocate, lifelong. So that's where I'm coming from. The second element that's worth delving into, of course, is the story in the news today and yesterday and over the past several days. And that is that the Obama administration, in its last waning, decrepit days before they finally say goodbye, and I wish them all well. I hope President Obama has a pleasant and prosperous retirement. Maybe they'll give him another $10 million advance on a book. I don't know. I would be very surprised if he didn't get that. I think that as they retreat, hopefully into anonymity, which I believe is what essentially will happen, because I don't think anyone wants to hear from them again, Obama takes a parting stab in the back at the state of Israel. The 8 years of his administration have been contentious, for sure. He reversed course in terms of the policy of the previous Bush administration, which was pro-Israel. And when I say pro-Israel, I don't mean that just in the sense that he maintained a positive relationship with the state of Israel and involved diplomacy and trade. That Obama did as well. I mean in terms of Israel's American involvement in Israel's relationships with its Arab minority, and you know, whether or not that Arab minority is going to get to carve out a sovereign state. The Bush administration position was always hands off. Let the Israelis and the Arabs figure out their own problems. Let them negotiate amongst themselves. And that the United States would not apply pressure on the state of Israel because it was generally assumed that it was not right and not appropriate for the United States, or for that matter, for any foreign power, to try to impose its will on another nation. So there was a hands-off approach. Obama tried to change that and tried to do it sort of through the back door by applying pressure on the state of Israel to create another Palestinian state. And when I say another Palestinian state, I mean that in the sense that there already is a Palestinian state. And that Palestinian state is called Israel. Israel is Palestine. I'll give you, for example, Zimbabwe. When when the British left that country and after a period of control by a minuscule white minority, after they were defeated, Rhodesia, which is what it was known as, named after Cecil Rhodes, changed its name to Zimbabwe. There are other examples of where nations, essentially upon independence, changed their name to, and we're getting into an etymological question here, and I think it's an important one. It changed its name to its indigenous name. Burma, for example, became Myanmar. For a while, Cambodia became Kampuchea under the control of the communist regime of Pol Pot. Let's see, Ceylon, the British colony of Ceylon, became Sri Lanka when it became independent. Persia became Iran. There are other examples throughout the world where nations upon independence have assumed their indigenous name as part of their new identity as a sovereign state. Well, Israel, of course, is Palestine, because Palestine was the colonial name of that region given to a region by the British after the defeat of the Ottoman Empire or the Turkish Empire at the end of World War I, when the region was carved up and the British were given control over that region. They called it Palestine, the British Mandate of Palestine. The term Palestine actually is not ancient. It goes back to the Roman times. I suppose, Rome was not, it was ancient, but it was really on the cusp of the modern era, in that it was coined by Hadrian, the Emperor Hadrian, who, after the defeat of the rebellion, the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which was the Judean rebellion against Rome, he renamed the region, which had previously been called Judea, to Palestina. And he did so because he was mocking the Jews and saying the Jews no longer exist, and therefore we're going to give the country the name of their ancient enemy, the Philistines, as described in the in the Old Testament, in the days of the Judges, in the days of King David, when the Philistines, who were, by most accounts, and generally it's been conceded, were actually Greek. They were seafaring people who settled.